Hello and welcome back to the IMD Podcast Network. Today, an interview between Susan Goldsworthy and Oliver Zeidler. Susan is an affiliate professor of leadership, communications and organizational change at IMD. She's also a former Olympic finalist, which gives her a special insight into the world of sports. Oliver Zeidler too has a unique insight. Having started his sports career as a swimmer, he switched into rowing and is now the reigning Olympic champion in the single sculls and an IMD MBA candidate.
Today's guest, Oliver Zeidler, is someone who has reinvented themselves over and over again at a very young age. After missing out on Rio 2016 as a swimmer, he switched sports completely and moved into rowing, where he became world champion within 3 years. Later, after a setback in Tokyo, he won gold at the 2024 Paris Olympics. While training, he also has worked for nearly a decade at Deloitte, earning degrees in taxation. And now he's an IMD MBA candidate, reinventing himself once again. Oliver, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to speak to a fellow Olympian, particularly one as accomplished as yourself and whose grandfather competed in the same Olympics as myself. So that gave me a bit of a shock this morning, but wonderful. Can you share with me, you grew up in a family full of Olympic success, your grandfather, your aunt, I think your father was also a champion rower, your sister competes. How was it to grow up in that environment, and did it kind of normalize peak performance for you?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me. And my family was always very, very strong support for me because they all understood what it means to perform on a very high level, to understand what it needs to become successful in sports. And that's why I had a lot of support from my grandpa, who drove me to training when I was young, to all the pool sites around Munich. My parents, who also visited my competitions and were always there to support a lot. So this was very, very helpful.
Yeah, wonderful. And we talk about secure bases, the people in our lives that both support us but stretch and challenge us. Could you share an example of somebody who's been a secure base for you in your sports career, who you know, challenged you at a time where you maybe didn't like it, but it was helpful?
I think the biggest secure base in my life was actually my grandpa. He, as you said, was also an Olympic champion, raced in the same Olympics as you in rowing as well. And when I was young and still a swimmer, he was really someone who shared the stories of his experiences and was always motivating me. Even when there were upsets in my sports career, he was the one who challenged me then and said, yeah, what went wrong? What can you do better? And then also shared his story of how he failed sometimes and then came back stronger afterwards. And I think that is something what I copied. And he was also the one who inspired me to combine the two careers, like a business career and a sports career, because he was also someone who studied next to all the sport he did to have then the opportunity to actually feed a family, because in Germany it's not very attractive to do non-football sports, so Olympic sports, because there's not a lot of funding and you really need to have something you can do after your career to earn a living.
How was it to go into an office? I mean, it's a very different environment to the sports world, right? How was that experience when you first started that?
Well, it was also about motivation, I think. So I wanted to do something what not everyone else does. That's why I first of all went into tax consulting. I was not sure if I am more interested in law or business, what everyone studies if they don't know what to do, and then law, where you can end up in Germany after 6 years without a degree if you don't pass the exams there. So I found a middle way with tax consulting, where it's also very business related, a lot of law in there, and I enjoyed it for a few years. And this is something what motivated me, or I like the challenge, this uniqueness of this this track. And that's why I went that way, and it was not so challenging to change from a from school to an office environment, because I started right after my A-level with Deloitte, and they always supported me, not only in sports at the beginning, actually not, but then with a lot of education and learning.
You talked about you like challenges. So what made you decide to step out of the consulting career and take an MBA? I mean, obviously it's a challenge, but what was it that made you decide that, and why IMD?
Yeah, so when you look at my CV, it seems like that I always stayed with Deloitte, but I changed departments within Deloitte as well. So I always was exploring a bit what's something what interests me. And I think at some point I found out that I want to do maybe something completely different. And that's when the MBA came up as an idea, because you have a lot of time to reflect there. You learn a lot more than what you learned before. So just to widen the knowledge base, and then having the opportunity to change careers completely. This was something what I did from swimming to rowing already. That's what I did from school to consulting, and now MBA. And then the next step, let's see what it is. But I think this is a good, I thought it was a good opportunity to just change careers once more.
So what I'm hearing from you is this sort of inbuilt desire or ability to become a beginner again. You know, so you master something and then you become a beginner again, and then you master something and become a beginner again. What is it? Because that's such a powerful characteristic to have, right? The beginner's mindset. What is it that's helped shape that for you, and what does that bring into business?
Well, I think I realized that when I actually switched from swimming to rowing. This was a very uncommon step, especially when you are 20 years old already, like I was when I started with rowing. And it was the best decision in my life retrospectively now. And I want to have something similar now in my business life or in my professional career. And that's what I'm searching for. And that's where I thought that the MBA is a good opportunity as well.
And so when you look into the future of your business career, what does Olympic gold look like in business?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think I would like to take more responsibility, becoming a very good and effective leader. This is the ultimate goal. And this might sound very abstract, but I don't want to really target a certain position I want to have. I think there are a lot of options which would make me happy. And that's how I will go on.
So it's more about you as a leader with others.
Yes, exactly.
Versus the actual role or title.
Exactly. And this is also maybe something different again, because at the moment it seems like that I'm in the single skull. I'm an individual athlete, but I would like to have more this team environment and seeing the bigger picture, enabling others to achieve their goals. And this is what where IMD helped me as well to understand a bit better what drives other people, how to become a leader, and how to become more effective in the leadership.
Yeah, because I suppose even though you're an individual athlete, you have a whole team around you, but they're all vested in your goal.
For sure. I think in the business context, it's a bit more obvious. When you're a team lead of a department, then it's more obvious that you're working in this team and really building it. I did the same in rowing, where I built up a team after the Olympics 2021 in Tokyo, where I realized that the system that the German Federation provides is not very helpful. Mm-hmm. And so I started my sponsorship-funded team, had my own weights coach, my own physiotherapist. I started with psychology, sports psychology, stuff like this. And it was a very satisfying process for me, because I had the feeling that I had control over everything. I could really work on the highest possible way, far better than the German Federation could provide it. And that's what I really enjoyed as well.
So what was it that enabled you to make that switch from being a sort of passive recipient in the system to stepping up and saying, I'm going to manage myself here?
Well, I think it was the upset from Tokyo, where I just reflected a bit. We analyzed the race, my father and I. So my father is my coach as well. That's maybe also something what I needed to mention. And we found out that we are wasting too much time and resources for things we were not really interested in doing or which don't bring us towards the goal we want to achieve. And that's how we came up with the plan that we need to make certain changes, need to work on certain fields which were untouched before. And that's how we worked.
Very powerful. Again. Very powerful. If we can go back to Tokyo, because it was a strange Olympics anyway, because it was a year delayed. You know, we call it 2020, but it was actually 2021. It was COVID, so there was no spectators or very limited spectators. And you went in as world champion. So you were the favorite, I suppose. And then you didn't perform to the level that you would want to. In fact, I think you didn't make the finals. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. So in the semi-final, I became fourth. And so I was in the B final. In the end, I won the B final. Okay. But that was not that was not enough for my expectations. When you go in there as a world, as the reigning world champion, the favorite for gold, a whole nation expects you to do very well, because the last medal in the men's single sculls was in 2000, so 20 years ago. So there was a lot of expectations I needed to manage and then fail. That's a huge upset.
Yeah, it must have been devastating.
Yes, exactly. Not only for yourself, but you also feel responsible for the people around you, for a whole nation. And that's tough.
Were you tempted to walk away at that moment?
Well, I needed to have some time after this, after the racing in Tokyo, to just take a step back and think, being a bit off sports again, because I spent my whole life in sports, basically, from swimming, then immediately to rowing. And then I took 1-2 months off to just understand what I really want to do. And in the end, it was I was visiting a friend here in Switzerland, in Zurich. He had a race in Lucerne at Rothsee, my favorite lake, the Lake of Gods, because it's a natural lake which is just a bit longer than 2 kilometers long. And it's always the place where the World Cup final every year happens, because it's the fairest course and nestled in a valley there. It's really beautiful. And I was standing at the shores there while he was training and preparing for his race. And this is where I decided then to go for another Olympic cycle, because I really wanted to win on that lake again. And this was a very powerful moment.
Beautiful. So it's a defining moment that you can recall standing there. Beautiful. And I believe you actually worked with a psychologist to go through the grief cycle in that process. How was that, and what did you learn from that?
That was also challenging, because before that, I always said that I don't need psychology at all. I can handle this on my own. I'm having just fun, making some trouble, and this is how I understood myself. But it was a huge mistake. I think if I had started earlier with sports psychology, I had understood a lot more about myself, how I can prepare properly for a race. So I also did some preparation where I just imagined the strokes and how it is to race there. So visualization. That's what I did before already. But there's so much more, and especially when there's a trauma like I had it in Tokyo, you should really put the fish on the table and really handle the issue instead of leaving it in there for a long time. And I left it in there for still 1.5 years before I finally targeted this issue together with Annalene, my sports psychologist. And it was very helpful. It was a huge relief, actually.
And when you went to Paris, did you have doubts at all in your mind? Or had you focused so much on making up for
I was a bit anxious before the semi-final, especially. I knew that this is the race where I lost it the last time. And my mom was on the grandstands, and my whole family was cheering for me. So they were all in Paris. So there was a bit of pressure that I finally need to perform now. And even if we went through this whole grieving cycle, there was still some demons with me from Tokyo. But then when I lined up at the start line and I could finally do something before you feel a bit paralyzed. When you go to the start line, you are just waiting for the call over and then you can finally do something. It's a weird feeling and you're really feeling the anxiety and a lot of adrenaline inside you. But as soon as there was the attention go, it was just executing the race plan. It was the ultimate test before the final that I can execute the race plan there. And I ended up with the Olympic record. I smashed the record by almost 5 seconds in the semifinal, which was amazing. And I remember going to the cool down area then and really taking 2 minutes to just cry my eyes out because I finally had I said really goodbye to these demons from Tokyo. Yeah. And then I was ready for the final.
And then you were cleansed and ready.
For sure. And the final, it was just enjoying. Honestly.
What would you take from that experience?
Well, I think resilience, it's often used as a buzzword, but I can say from experience that the upsets, handling these upsets and then coming back or trying to do something different, coming back stronger, made me a better person and a better athlete. So this is something what I really want to embody and tell the people. And then it's also this exploration, which I am doing, always reinventing myself. Sometimes it can be the best thing to do in your life to just do something else what you are curious about. Like I did it with rowing. And I just want to motivate people or inspire people to sometimes try other things, going a different way than the mainstream.
You're doing an MBA and you're looking at what that means for your business career. What advice could you give others? I mean, you're with a number of others on the MBA, but more broadly, what advice would you give to people in business who do face setbacks, who do struggle and do fail?
I think it is very important to understand why certain things happen, so you get that you can really do something against it or to avoid these mistakes in the future. As I said before, upsets were the moments where I learned the most because I really kept them in my mind. When you're only successful all the time, you sometimes forget why you are successful, so there's not a lot of analysis going on. And this is something what I found very valuable, that it's really a learning opportunity if something goes wrong, not the right way, and it's not something you need to be ashamed of. It's actually something very, very valuable, which you can use to become a better person, businessman, leader, athlete, whatever.
So it's very much this growth mind shift we talk about, right? It's the learning attitude versus the earning, having to prove oneself.
Exactly.
And so embracing life as an exploration and opportunity?
Exactly. And I think with the gold medal in Paris, I earned it all, I achieved it all. And sometimes when I talk to people, they're asking, yeah, why are you continuing? You achieved everything now. It will be hard to beat this experience from Paris anyways. But I say, yeah, I just enjoy it and I love what I'm doing. And I would like to, leave a even bigger legacy as I already did in sports.
And once you've got the Olympic gold, you've got the Olympic gold forever.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So I have nothing to lose and I'm really enjoying it. And it was the same in Shanghai now, even if I didn't go there in the best form of my life. It was still something important to me that I don't just watch the others taking my title. I wanted to fight, I wanted to show up and not hide. Yeah. And in the end, it was a very good decision. I didn't win the gold medal, but I won a very, very unexpected silver medal. And that next to an MBA is an impressive performance, which adds another cool story to my story deck.
If you were to look back in 40 years, you're still young, let's say 40 years time, or even a little bit younger, the age of some of these CEOs that you mentioned, what would you hope people would say about the legacy that you're hoping to leave?
So I hope that I can copy somehow my experience from the sport and bring it into the business world. I think this personal connection and the impact sports can have, where I'm really convinced that athletes are great people to have in your company because they have this different kind of experience. To bring something like this into a business environment would be very, very cool. Because as I said, this mutual respect, this hard work and all of that, what rowing embodies, to carry this into a company which might not have that before, this would be something what I would be very curious about to test it out. Yeah.
And to drive a culture.
Yeah, exactly. So a bit of change management, a bit of cultural shifts. This is something what I would really enjoy.
So Ollie, you're in a period of ambiguity, uncertainty at the moment yourself about what your future career is going to be. What advice, what sort of three key messages would you give to others going through a period of uncertainty or ambiguity?
So I think first of all, what was very helpful for me to still have a bit of a safe space or a backup. So that's why I also decided to work next to my sport, because I wanted to have this backup. If at some point I would be injured, then I would always have the opportunity to just work full time, still pay my bills, pay for my living. This is something what I really, really found important. So that you are managing this security with a bit of uncertainty, that you always have a backup. Mm. That's the first thing. Then the second thing, that you really enjoy what you're doing. This is very, very important, because that's what I also tell little children who want to be successful in sport, that the most important thing is having fun in what you're doing. Otherwise, it's not sustainable. And then the last thing is managing the exploration, which I'm doing pretty successfully, with the exploitation, so that you have something where you are really good at, where you can rely on, but also think about what you could do in addition, or what's going on around you, so that you don't ignore what you could explore and finding other ways to do business. I was always very innovative. That's why I think it was possible to become a world champion after 3 years, because I was not in the sport for 10 years or even longer, having always the same material, being used to everything around me. I was able to test different boats, I tested different blade shapes, I tested all of that stuff. I think this gave me a bit of an edge, and that's something I would like to tell the people too, that it's important to be open for innovation and explore a bit what's going on around you.
So to push the boundaries, excellent. To be curious and question the assumptions that are... So here on the MBA, Ollie, you're working with a lot of different people from diverse backgrounds, experiences, who may have different motivations. How does that dynamic work when you're together?
So at the beginning, it was very, very challenging, because there are a lot of cultures coming together. There are a lot of different experiences and a lot of different characters. And you, especially in the group setups, you need to manage all of that suddenly. Being in a room with strangers, so you don't know each other at the beginning, that was a bit challenging, because I always came from this competitive background where when you don't put 100% into your work, you will not be in the boat, so you disqualify yourself basically. But it's a bit different in the business environment. People are managing their energy and their time differently, and that's something which was challenging for me to accept and see at the beginning, to be honest. And that's a very valuable thing in leadership, I think, that you are not only focused on your agenda, your goals, but also understand what other people think is important, how they work best, and how to achieve the best result for the team in the end.
And you talked about being competitive. Obviously, you need to be competitive to reach the levels you've reached. One of the things I think people often misunderstand is that above a certain level, you're actually competing against yourself more than other people. And as an Olympic champion, you of course have an identity now that follows you, and an aura that people, before they even meet you, have around you. What is it from your sports identity that you feel you want to keep going forward into your business career? And what are some of the things you need to let go of?
Yeah. So I think an Olympic gold medal is really showing people that you are successful in what you're what you're doing. And especially in rowing, it's also a proof that you can work hard. This is what I said before, that this is one of the values I'm standing for, and that I'm proud of that. And I think this is what I want to keep. And then my personality might be seen as 80% Olympic champion or athlete and 20% the professional I am. And I wanted to shift that a bit with my MBA now, to make the share of non-sports related topics a bit bigger. And I think I became pretty successful with that. So when I talk to my classmates now, they see me as analytic, strategic, and that's very nice, because that's exactly the direction where I wanted to pivot to before my MBA. And I think I made a good job in developing my personal brand a bit further.
Ollie, it's been an absolute delight and pleasure to speak with you. It's been inspiring. And I feel encouraged to go out and get on the lake.
but do so.
To explore and try something new. So thank you.
Thank you very
all
much.
All the best.
What a pleasure.
Cheers.
That's all for this week. This podcast was proudly brought to you by the International Institute for Management Development in Lausanne. You can find out more at imd.org.